The following is a Radha Ashtami lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on September 23, 2012, in Klang, Malaysia.
Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Vala Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatanvita Damsa Jeeva Sadaita Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadya Deshatarine. So today is Radhastami, the transcendental appearance day of Srimati Radharani. Radharani is called Haladini Shakti. She is the pleasure potency of Krishna. When Krishna wants to enjoy, he manifests himself from himself, Srimati Radharani. So, has Krishna always desired to enjoy? Or just, he didn't always enjoy, I desire to enjoy. No, Krishna has always desired to enjoy. Therefore, he is eternally manifesting Srimati Radharani from his transcendental body. So what is the significance of that manifestation for us? Radharani is the more merciful manifestation of Krishna. You see, the masculine nature can be hard. The feminine nature is soft. So it's easier to approach Radharani than it is to approach Krishna. That's the point. That's why when we chant the Maha Mantra, first we address Mother Radharani, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. First, the energy of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and then Krishna. So this pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani, she is very, very merciful. So, why do we need mercy, one could ask? I mean, isn't having money enough, one might ask. Someone says, who needs mercy? I just need money. Money, 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 give me money, you see. So that is the material conception of life. Who needs the mercy of God or Radharani? They're just mythological anyway. That's what people think. This is just some mythological thing. Who needs it? It's just something imaginary. That's what people think, is it? So, is that really true? That Radha and Krishna are imaginary? No, it's not true. Krishna is the very substance of our existence. Krishna is the foundation of everything, the support of everything. Everything, he says in the Gita, everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. If you remove Krishna, then everything collapses. Malaysia collapses, planet Earth collapses, the whole universe collapses. Just like a string of pearls, you remove the string, the whole thing is finished. You see? So Krishna is the foundation, the support. He's what holds everything together because everything is his energy. There's one famous scientist, Dr. Stephen Hawking. He says the universe comes out of absolutely nothing. But where is the scientific experiment to prove that, you see? In science, you have to have the experiment, the data, and then you draw your theory based on the data you get from your experiments. So where is the experiment? You can get something out of nothing. We tried it the other day in Albert and Shah Alam. We did an experiment, a scientific experiment. We took an empty pot, we put it on the stove, and we waited to see if some popcorn would come out of the pot, you see. We didn't even try to get the whole universe. We just tried to get some popcorn out of the pot. And not even one kernel came out of that empty pot. And we tried it twice. We turned the stove up, we shook it, and no popcorn came out of that empty pot, you see. So we concluded, therefore, that Dr. Hawking has it wrong, you see. He says everything comes out of absolutely nothing. But we couldn't even get popcorn out of absolutely nothing, you see. What to speak of everything. So Dr. Hawking has never been able to do an experiment, nor has any scientist ever been able to do an experiment where they got something out of nothing. Therefore, there is an original something from which everything has come. And that is described by Brahmaji. Who's Brahmaji? He's the original scientist in this universe. Don't put the finger in the mouth. Muchi. He is the original scientist, and he had scientific discovery by dint of his own realization, you see. He was born in the darkness. And he is wondering, what is this? What's going on here? Why do I exist? What's happening here? And he was trying to figure out. He actually crawled down the lotus flower, looked around. He couldn't find anything. He crawled back up to his lotus seat. What's going on? He was trying to figure it out. But finally he heard two syllables from the Sparsa alphabet. You know the Sanskrit alphabet? He heard two syllables. Ta, pa. This is too loud. Gonna hurt my ears. Yeah. He heard two syllables, ta and pa. And he understood, oh, therefore I'm supposed to do tapa, austerity. So he underwent great penances and austerities, and the whole spiritual world was revealed to him. The truth of the Vedic wisdom was completely revealed to him. He understood that he's the eternal maidservant of Krishna. And he gave us the beautiful Brahma Samhita prayers. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchirananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal form which is full of bliss and knowledge. He has no origin. He is the origin of everything. He is also known as Govinda. And he is the cause of all causes. You see. So, Brahmaji, a great scientist, who underwent a scientific experiment to understand what is the universe, what's going on here, he understood that Krishna is the original substance, Anadir, the original substance who had no other substance other than himself. So we have to ignore the great scientific, so-called great scientific discoveries of Dr. Hawking, because he doesn't know what he's talking about, you see. We have to hear instead from those persons who have realized the truth. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. And just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen what? The truth. So, is this truth of Krishna consciousness just something that we take by blind faith? Or is it something that's factually realized by the great sages? Yes, it is factually realized by the great sages. Can you become a great sage? Sure, you can become a great sage. Even if you're a little boy, you can become a great, or a little girl, you can become a great sage. All you have to do is have full faith in Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya prayed, I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. Everyone try to pay attention up here, what's being said. This is very important. So we have to, if we want to realize the truth, we have to hear from a bona fide spiritual master who is bringing us the absolute truth. This is not something you can understand by speculation. You have to hear it from an authorized source, you see. And then you can have the knowledge also. Even a little child, you see, he may not understand mathematics, but his father tells him, my dear son, 3 by 3 equals 9. Doesn't even know what it means. But if somebody asks him, what is 3 times 3? He says, oh, it's 9. Because he heard from his father, you see. If you hear from a perfect source and you accept that knowledge, then you also have perfect knowledge. You understand this point? If you hear from a perfect source and you accept that knowledge, then you also have perfect knowledge. And what does perfect knowledge do? Perfect knowledge liberates you from this material existence. Jivan mukta sa uchate. If you will take perfect knowledge and you apply that perfect knowledge, you see, exactly as you have heard it, verbatim, without adding to it or subtracting from it, if you will apply it exactly as you heard it from your teacher, then you will personally realize God. You understand this point? You will personally see God face to face. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadeva hridayeshu valokayanti yangshamushundaram yagunasvarupam govindamadipurusham tamaham bhajami. Yes, you can realize God. All you have to do is engage in this purificatory process of bhakti yoga, which is the ointment which will anoint your eyes with love of God. But you have to do it seriously. You have to make it the goal of your life, not some part-time hobby. Prabhupada said that you should accept everything that is favorable for your Krishna consciousness, and you should reject whatever is unfavorable for your Krishna consciousness. So you have to analyze your life, what you do every day. What do I do on Monday and Tuesday? you should analyze everything you're doing. And you should see, is this thing that I'm doing right now favorable for my Krishna consciousness? If it is, great, keep doing it. If it's not favorable, give it up. You have to be able to break free from attachment to those things which are not favorable for your Krishna consciousness, like McDonald's hamburgers or Kentucky Fried Chicken, for example. You see? No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, and no gambling. You have to say, okay, I'm giving these up. No more lottery tickets. You see? I'm giving up these activities because they are not favorable for my Krishna consciousness. And what is favorable? Getting up early in the morning before the sunrise and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. When Prabhupada first started ISKCON, he did not have us get up early in the morning. That early, I mean a little early. But then at one point he introduced Mangala Arti to the devotees. Something new. And he quoted an American philosopher named Benjamin Franklin, who said, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Prabhupada told us that. So if you want to, you like to be healthy, you like to be wealthy, you want to be wise, well, get up for Mangala Arti every day. Is it? Get up for Mangala Arti. You'll have a good day every day. Every day will be a good day. If you get up for Mangala Arti every day, you sing their Gavastakam prayers before the sunrise, every day you're going to be smiling the whole day. You're going to be blissed out the whole day. Nothing will bring you down because you had Mangala Arti. You observed Mangala Arti, you see. Your japa will be first class. Your consciousness will be above the modes of material nature. You just have to get up and do that. So that's an example. Accept what is favorable for your Krishna consciousness. And you know what will happen when you do that? You see, Vishayavani Vartante Nirahara Rashavashang Rishopyashva Parangdivistu Nevartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing what? A higher taste. It's like the name of our cookbook. A higher taste, he becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness. So ladies and gentlemen, Prabhus and Matajis, this is all you have to do. If you want to be successful in life, you want to taste the bliss at every minute. You want to relish the nectar of Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Then all you have to do is get that higher taste. That is called bhakti rasa. The taste of bhakti, the sweet taste of bhakti. It's a taste. Just like a gulab jamun is a taste in your mouth, bhakti is a taste. You have to get a taste for bhakti. You have to fall in love with bhakti. That I love to chant. I love to have darshan. I love to hear the guru speaking. I love to hear the kirtan. You have to develop a taste for these things. You relish them, deeply relish them. Not just some social obligation. You see, you have to learn to deeply relish these things. Because that attachment will gradually transform into pure taste, which is called ruchi, which will save you from all material tastes. See, right now we have so many, we have mundane rasa, or mundane taste. We have so many tastes for mundane things. Cinema, video games, internet. We have taste for so many mundane things, you see, which keep us entangled in the cycle of birth and death. Birth after birth after birth. So how do you break free from those mundane attachments? You have to get the higher taste. You see? Why go to a cinema when I can read Prabhupada's books? You see? For example. There's unlimited nectar in every single page of Prabhupada's books. So get a taste for reading Prabhupada's books again and again and again. Your whole life, get a full set of Prabhupada's books, every single book. Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, Krishna book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Easy Journey to Other Planets. You see, in this way, get a full set of Prabhupada's books and read them again and again and again. Every spare minute you have, read Prabhupada's books. You see. Because this will give you a great transcendental realization of who you actually are. I'm not a man. I'm not a woman. I'm not a Hindu. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm the eternal Jivara Sarupahoy, Krishnara Nityadas. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. So if you will take this process very nice, take advantage of the special mercy of Radharani, you see, by chanting Hare Krishna every day. Take advantage of Madharani's mercy and every day chant Hare Krishna mantra with feeling, with love, with determination, with enthusiasm, and with what other thing do you need? Patience. Because you're going to see Krishna immediately? No. We have a lot of dirt in our hearts. Do you know how much dirt you got in your heart? Ooh, we got tons of dirt in there. Really dirty hearts. I mean, really, really, really dirty. In thousands of millions of lifetimes, we've accumulated so much crud, it's dirtier than the dirtiest pot you ever saw in the kitchen. It was never clean, you know. Black, soot-encrusted pot is nothing compared to the anarta-encrusted hearts that we got right now, Prabhus and Matajis. We have anarta-encrusted hearts, dirt-encrusted hearts. But if you will take this process with great enthusiasm, scrubbing and rubbing, you see. Every day you're scrubbing and rubbing that heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Are you listening back there or are you playing with that toy? Hey, are you listening or you're playing with the toy? You can play with the toy after the lecture, but now I want you to give me your undivided attention, okay? Undivided attention, because this knowledge will save you. I'm trying to save your life. Don't you know you've been caught up in the cycle of birth and death for millions of lifetimes? I'm trying to save you. Actually, Prabhupada's trying to save all of us, and I'm acting as his representative. So we have to take this very seriously and hear with full attention this message, because this is how we'll become saved. This is how we'll become delivered. So I can ask now if there's any questions. You can pass the sheets forward now. Okay, here we go. Which thing is not favorable to Krishna consciousness we have rejected? But how if the husband is not attracted to Krishna consciousness, in other words, if the husband's not Krishna conscious, what do you do? Well, you shouldn't be very attached to him. You dutifully act as a wife, because that's what Krishna wants. You do all of it as Krishna seva. The husband is not a devotee, is he? Then you may serve him as a duty to Krishna. Everything should be centered around Krishna, that's the point. What are the qualifications we need before we choose a guru? 16 rounds of japa. Be fixed in chanting at least 16 rounds of japa mala every day. And strictly avoiding illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. When you're fixed in that, then you can choose a guru and get initiated. Is it the same thing that is happening in the spiritual world as what we are practicing in Krishna consciousness? Yes. We are doing devotional service here. In the spiritual world, they are also doing devotional service. It'll be a million times sweeter there. So you have to qualify yourself. We are very happy to have Maharaj and Guru Mata Divine Association, although we'd always like to be in Sattva Guna and beyond. Sometimes certain situations, like when at work, necessitates a Rajaguna disposition. Otherwise, we're not able to meet the workplace key performance indexes. That's all right. Arjuna was also Rajasic on the battlefield. So you can be Rajasic for your job. That's all right. You should be a bigger Raja than the others, actually. More Rajasic. You should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. At your job, you can be very passionate. Be the best, most passionate worker in the whole company, you know. They make you the CEO. We have no objection. You see, for our own personal ambition, we have not interested. But we want to be successful for the sake of this movement. If you're successful at your job and they pay you well, they promote you or whatever, then you have more money to give to support ISKCON. You understand? To support the preaching. So you should be very successful in the material world. Not for your sake, but for Krishna's sake, for Prabhupada's sake, for ISKCON's sake. We'd like all of you to become very, very successful in the material world. Whatever you're doing, you should be the tops. I see. Because then we'll have more money to make ISKCON even more successful. You see. Preaching needs money. So when you're working, you should think, let me do this job very well so I can make good income, cover my material needs, the needs of my family, and to support the preaching. Why is Krishna consciousness the best? And how to distribute the mercy of Sri Gauranga and Srila Prabhupada to the materialistic person? Krishna consciousness means to be a lover of God. That's all. To be a lover of God. If you don't love God, then you will love dog. That's all. So, why is it better to love God than to love dog? Because the dog will not give you an eternal life full of knowledge and bliss, but God will. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is better. How to distribute the mercy? You have to tell people about Krishna. Be very enthusiastic to always tell people about Krishna, you see. That's how you distribute the mercy. Preach, preach, preach. Distribute books. Harinam, Ratha Yatra, whatever you can do according to your situation, tell people about Krishna. Make devotees. How to reduce laziness? By love. If you love someone, you won't even think it's work, you see. If I love you, I'll serve you 24 hours a day. I'll never think it's work. I'll just think it's bliss. If you don't like somebody, it's oh my God, I have to do this work. You see. If you love someone, you don't think it's work. So laziness only comes in when there's no love, you see. But if you love Krishna, you'll work hard like a madman to spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Without even thinking that it's work. It'll just be like a kid in a candy shop. You see? We tell a kid, okay, we'll give you, here's a big, huge bag. Now go to the candy shop and take whatever you want. He says, oh, that's too much work. Would a kid think that way? Oh, it's so much work. I got to pick up all those pieces of candy and put them in the bag. You see? No, a kid in a candy shop, he's in bliss. Oh, wow. So one who loves Krishna, one who has compassion for the fallen souls of this planet, his activities of spreading Krishna consciousness are just like a kid in a candy shop. He's in bliss. It's not work. It's recreation. The land in Europe is very fertile and beautiful weather. And blessed. Ironically, the most amounts of sin is also from the European continent, from alcohol, cow slaughter, and meat eating, and also lust womanizing. Please advise why and how this land is blessed with fertility of good living. Previous PIEX activities, that's all. It's like the United States, the same thing. They have so much wealth, so much power, so much influence, but they're so decadent now. It's due to previous pious activities, that's all. So, but if they don't, if they continue sinning, they'll lose everything, you see. Everything will be lost. Everything will be lost. They continue this, their sinful activities, womanizing, liquor, cow slaughter, killing the babies in the womb. They will, everything will be, this whole civilization, world civilization will collapse. And mere anarchy will be loosed upon the world if we don't stop all these sinful activities, you see. It'll become like a jungle. The whole planet will be like a big jungle. There'll be no order anywhere left if we keep sinning like this. We're destroying ourselves. This is world society. We're destroying ourselves by all of this sin. The karma is just going to completely crush the whole modern civilization if we don't stop these sinful activities. So I'm pleading with the people, I'm pleading with the leaders, please close the slaughterhouses. Please close the abortion clinics. You see, please stop this nonsense. You're killing yourselves by doing this, but they are so carried away by lust, anger, and greed. They can't hear this message. They keep killing the cows every day. They keep aborting the babies every day. They can't hear us. They're blind by lust. They're blinded by lust. They're killing themselves. The whole society will completely collapse if they continue doing this. The whole thing will be finished. The whole world civilization will be finished. It'll just be like a jungle. The whole thing will be going like a jungle. If I want to become your disciple, what must I do? You must chant 16 rounds every day of Hare Krishna mantra. You must follow the four regulative principles, and you must get the recommendation of your local ISKCON authority. And then I will accept you as my disciple, and I will help you go back to Godhead. I will take the responsibility that you will go back to Godhead. Can a female devotee get married again after her husband's death? In the Vedic culture, that was not done. Because they were so dedicated to their husband, they couldn't think of having another man. It was out of the question. Completely out of the question. But nowadays, where is that dedication? The men are such scoundrels. Who do you want to dedicate to one of those scoundrels anyway? You see? So, nowadays, if the spiritual master authorizes it, then it's okay. But actually, the best thing, if you really want to know the truth, is just to take shelter of Krishna at that point. But one may not be strong enough to do that. So sometimes a concession can be given. All right, you can marry again. But actually, that is not the Vedic system. What was the first word your grace heard from Prabhupada? Jagannath. Very first word I heard come out of his mouth, Jagannath. He said, Jagannath Swami, Nayana Padagami, Bhavatu Me. Please enlighten. This is questions from last night. Is Bhakti Devi and Tulsi Devi the same? Yes, that's how we pray in the Tulsi prayer. How to identify a bona fide spiritual master? Well, does he have to have long hair and a beard? He has to be a sannyasi. He has to be able to twirl a lotus flower in his hand. Is he? What does it take? Do you have to have 10,000 disciples? Do you have to have run a Rolls Royce car? What is the qualification? Is he? How to identify a bona fide spiritual man? That's described. This question is answered in the Mundaka Upanishad. Tad viganartam saguru meva vigasat samit panahi shrotiyam brahmanishtam. If you want to realize that highest truth, then you absolutely must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And how do you recognize him? Shrotiyam Ramanishtam. Shrotiyam means he has heard the Vedic wisdom from authorized sources. He repeats the Vedic wisdom without any change, and he is Brahmanishtam, he is purely fixed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. He's not, it doesn't that he says one thing and does another thing. You see? It's not that he's, you know, he gives a lecture and then he goes to what, he goes out and watches a movie. There's one so-called guru, he's a very famous guru in America, and he was seen standing in line at a porno movie. Can you imagine? He went to a pornographic movie, and he's considered to be a spiritual master. And the people are so foolish, they accept him. One person was amazed. One boy came, he said, "Oh, Baba Ramdas, you're at a porno movie." He was, couldn't believe it. But he was. He was standing there at a porno movie, in line, waiting to get his ticket to go in and watch a pornography movie. And he's a so-called, and they accept him as a great spiritual master who's realized the highest truth. You see, so a bona fide spiritual master does not—he's not—doesn't look at porno. He doesn't waste his time with anything which is not necessary for Krishna consciousness. He's fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, and he can give you Krishna. Why is there one religion, Krishna consciousness, and too many other religions? This question is wrong. There are not too many other religions. There's no such thing as religions. Religions is a man-made conception. God has not given us religions. Man have invented religions. How many suns are there in the sky?
One.
How many religions are there? One. To become a lover of God. Now, one can be purely religious as a Muslim, as a Christian, as a Hindu, a Sikh, a Jain, or a Jew. It doesn't matter. It's like I read the other day, the definition of Islam means one who is fully surrendered to God. And I think, well, I guess I'm a Muslim then. You see? Because the actual definition of Islam is one who is completely surrendered to God. He voluntarily surrenders to God. So the point is, religion is one. You may call it this, you may call it that, but religion is one to fully surrender to the will of God. Now, you have to actually do that. Many people say they're surrendering to God and they do all sinful activities. That's bogus. Hindus do it, Christians do it, Muslims do it, Jews do it. Everybody, so many people say, "I love God," and they do sinful activities. So it's not by wrong belonging to religion that you become saved. You become saved by becoming saintly, by developing saintly qualities. Whatever path you want to do, you have to become saintly. What does that mean, to become saintly? If you love God, if you truly love God, you will love every single living creature. You see, you won't kill cows and eat them. If you truly love God, you wouldn't think of killing a cow. You would love the cow. You wouldn't think of murdering innocent people, you see, if you truly love God. One who loves God, he loves everyone. So a truly religious person, he loves everyone. So we are not introducing another religion here in Malaysia or on this planet. We are teaching the pure essence of what is religion before man politicized it with all these different designations. You see? We're teaching the original pure essence. Therefore this is called Sanatana Dharma. The eternal nature of the soul is to be a servant. And the perfection of that service is to serve all living entities. And that can only be done when you serve God. You say, "I love everyone, but I don't love God." And you don't love everyone. You see? "I love everybody, but I don't believe in God." That means you don't love God. You don't love everyone. You're leaving God out. You see? If you truly love everyone, then you must love God. And by loving God, automatically you can love everyone. Because just as when you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. How do we glorify Radharani and her appearance? By praying for her mercy. that please bless me that with Krishna consciousness. A teenage girl gets pregnant out of wedlock. Is keeping the child better and face humiliation, no money, or better look after the child the best, or do an abortion? Abortion is completely out of the question. Don't have sex outside of marriage. And even within marriage, we have sex only for procreation. That's the principle. So you've done wrong, but two wrongs don't make a right. I have a baby now that I didn't want to have because I had illicit sex, so I did something wrong. So killing the baby, that makes it right? No. Two wrongs don't make a right. You've gotten pregnant, now you have to take the responsibility. You agreed to have sex, now you have to agree to take care of that child. It's your responsibility. And the boy also should be responsible. The boy and the girl should both take full responsibility. If the boy is not there and there's nothing, you can always put the child up for adoption. Devotee parents. Find some devotees who want to adopt a child. But if you send them out to the society, they'll make him into a sinful person. Abortion is never okay. A rape victim? No, even a rape victim. Is it the baby's fault that he's a product of a rape? Let's say a girl got raped and she got pregnant. Is it the baby's fault that he's a rape victim? So why you should murder him? You got raped. That's a sin. That rapist should be put to death, actually, for his sin. But that child is innocent. Why you should kill an innocent being? It's not his fault. He came out of a rape. It's not his fault. What is an ideal Krishna conscious family? Everybody's initiated and everybody's following the principles and chanting their rounds. Why is a foolish scientist creating new technology to destroy the universe? For his own sense gratification. Because he gets big money. Please explain, whatever we did will give any effect to our spiritual master. Your spiritual master has to deal with you, with your karma. And he says, if you sin, then the spiritual master had burdened the spiritual master. If you do nicely in Krishna consciousness, then that's a great asset for your spiritual master. I want to have a guru. Does a guru have to be a sannyasi? Well, why don't you ask Krishna? Who was Krishna's guru? Sandipani Muni. Was he a sannyasi?
Yes.
He had a wife. His wife. So you can ask Krishna if the guru has to be a sannyasi. If it does, then Krishna made a big mistake. Because his guru was a householder. Sandipani Muni. Well, but would it be better, though, to have a sannyasi? One can say. I can understand a grihastha or a vanaprastha can be guru, but wouldn't it be better to have a sannyasi? Well, it depends on the Krishna consciousness of the guru. You see, because actually a guru, if you see the guru as being a sannyasi or a householder, your consciousness is offensive. One should, it's like saying that if you see think the deity is a stone statue, that's aparad. You see the guru in terms of varna and ashram, that is aparad. The spiritual master is beyond the varna ashram system. That you must understand. Krishna, how many histories? How many pastimes? Krishna has unlimited. It's called Nitya Lila. He has unlimited pastimes. Okay. How do we convince someone about the significance of the Vedas? especially when they think it is man-made and not the divine word or from a divine source. Do we avoid contact with such a person, or is it that we are not qualified to appreciate on the word of the Vedas? Well, that depends on you. If somebody is blasphemous, yes, we avoid them. If somebody is innocent and they're willing to learn, then we should qualify ourselves by carefully studying and following Prabhupada's books to be able to enlighten them. It's your duty to become empowered to enlighten people. You see, you are meant to become an empowered preacher who can deliver people, innocent people who are seeking the truth. You are meant to take that role, every one of you. Doesn't matter, child, woman, man, sannyasi, vanaprastha, grihastha, brahmachari, don't be permitted. You are meant to take the role of an empowered preacher. You see. So you need to become conversant by reading Prabhupada's books. You need to become conversant so you can convince them the Vedas are indeed the Word of God. They're not man-made. The Vedic wisdom is there from the very beginning. Tene Brahma Hridayadikavaye. The Vedic wisdom was revealed to Brahmaji from within the heart at the very beginning of the universe. So what is the question of man-made? There were no men around then. If it's man-made, where's the men that made it? At the very beginning of the universe, Brahmaji was the only creature. It was revealed to him from within the heart. But who is the man that made it? There was no men around. You have to read these books and understand this knowledge so you can defeat these rascal arguments. Any more questions? In a recent lecture by His Holiness Bhakti Purushottama Maharaj, he said Krishna married many times. Can you please tell me briefly about it? Yes, he married 16,108 times. You didn't know from Krishna book? And Krishna was really into marrying, and he married so many women. And actually, he had a transcendental marriage with Radharani also, which is it's like very transcendental arrangement also. It was esoteric. Radharani's marriage, actually Abhimanyu was Krishna himself playing that role. So, you know, all kinds of interesting things you get into Krishna's pastime. But Krishna, that big group of 16,000 queens, they had been kidnapped by some king, a rascal king. And in Vedic culture, if a woman has been in contact by another man, then she's contaminated. She can never be married, you see. If she spend the night with another in somebody's house, no one will marry her. She's polluted. So these girls have been kidnapped by a king, and therefore nobody would marry them. So they asked Krishna if he could marry them, and he agreed. He had kindness upon these girls that nobody would marry. It's a big mass marriage. So I just wanted to thank you all very much for being a part of our ISKCON temple here in Klang, Malaysia. This is a very important movement. This is the only movement which can actually deliver the world from suffering and anxiety. So your participation is very important, not only for your sake, but for the sake of the people of this city, the people of this country, and the people of the whole world, and the whole universe, actually. So please take your participation in this Hare Krishna temple here in Klang very seriously. Dedicate your life to making this center a grand success and to awakening the pure love of God within your heart. So I thank you all very much. Srimati Radharani ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.